Have you ever in life dug yourself into a hole? Has that ever happened to you? You ever had that experience in life? You dug yourself into a hole. Maybe you saw something coming, or maybe you didn't, but the result is the same. You feel what? You feel stuck. Years ago, as a youth, back at our family farm in Nebraska, and for those of you who know our family and know me, you know that we raised corn and soybeans, but we also raised a bunch of four-legged critters known as pigs. And one particular day, I have two buckets, one in each hand. They're about 35 to 50 pounds, depending upon how much dry feed is in there. And I'm going to take it into a barn that's filled with, you guessed it, little pigs. 25 to 35, maybe 40 pounds on a good day. Walk into the pen, and I'm about ready to start dispensing the feed. And I'm the most popular one in the pen, by the way. You can about imagine. You're the one that brings food. People love you, right? It happens here too. If you bring the food, guess what? People love you, right? They invite you places. Keep that in mind. Tuck that away. So here I am. I got these two big buckets in hand, and I'm ready to start dispensing feed. And then wouldn't you know, some of the feed spills in my rubber irrigation boot. And guess where it goes? Right down inside the boot. It wouldn't be bad enough, except there are granules of hard corn. And you start walking on that after a while, it starts to irritate you. So here's what I do. I set the buckets down, and I start to do one of these song and dances where I take the rubber boot out, and you know I'm going to shake it out like this, and then I take the boot off, and then my foot goes someplace, we'll just say it this way, undesirable. So I'm trying to shake my leg off, and I'm trying to do this, and meanwhile, I'm starting to feel what I call the Gulliver travel effect, where all of a sudden I'm swarmed. I turn around, and there's a horde of pigs behind me. I turn this way, and then there's a horde this way, and just when I thought this one had gone the other way, I turn around and they're still there. They are everywhere. And then over time, and if you've ever had this experience on a farm, especially with pigs, you know that they love to get close and personal. So I have a bunch of slobbering pigs climbing on my legs and pulling on my pant leg, and meanwhile, I'm also trying to get that boot back on my leg. And it seemed in that moment, no matter what I did, I dug myself deeper and deeper into a situation I didn't want to be in. And try as I might to scream for help or call for help or just say, time out, there is nobody coming to my rescue. If you've ever in life said this in some way, shape, or form, we have dug ourselves into a hole, then guess what? You are in good company tonight. And Aaron knows your story. Tonight we're continuing with our sermon series, which is taking us through the book of Exodus, and tonight we land on chapter 32, and if you haven't been with us, that's okay. Let me catch you up to speed. God has brought his people out of Egyptian slavery and bondage into a place he's coined and phrased as the promised land, and it's going to be a good place. It's a land of fulfilled promises, covenant blessings, and so forth, and along the way, God is learning very quickly what is in the heart of his people. Tonight we come to chapter 32. And here's what we learn. And if you're taking notes, this might be a good time. If you're in need of something to write with tonight, raise your hand and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you. But here's what we see in quick fashion. And this has a lot to do with digging into a hole. And sometimes, wouldn't you know, as we try to dig ourselves out, which direction do we go? We go down. We go down, baby, down. So here's what happened with Aaron, and maybe you know it. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there tonight. Aaron makes a poor decision. And on the heels of a poor decision, this would happen. Aaron gets stuck. If you would picture a car, and maybe you had this experience in Fort Wayne, you're in snow country, you get some ice. Sometimes when you pull the car into a thick bank of snow, you get stuck, and you hit the gas pedal, and what does that tire do? It just spins. And meanwhile, where are you going? Down, baby, down. Aaron makes a poor decision. And instead of stepping away from it, what does he do? He keeps spinning his tires, and down Aaron goes. But do you know what Aaron does? He keeps on digging, and in the process, he doesn't only take himself down. Who else does he take down with him? God's people. See, the author of Exodus paints it for us like this. Exodus 32, beginning of verse 1. Follow along, if you would, on the screens up front. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Moses has been on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, and it doesn't look like he's coming down anytime soon. So who do they go to? They go to the brother. And they go to their brother for a different answer, one that sounds really good. See, maybe God's people know this question in life. How long? How long? Some things in life take time, right? Getting through school takes time, doesn't it? It's not a flash in the pan. It takes time. Cultivating a healthy relationship, a God-honoring relationship or a marriage, it takes time. Caring for an ever-growing infant or a child in a household, guess what? It takes time. And if you're not getting much sleep, boy, you ask this question a lot. How long, right? Securing some financial stability in life takes time. Cultivating a good reputation in a community takes time. There are a lot of things in life that take time, and sometimes from these places we cry out, God, how long? You've been there. I've been there. And sometimes in our impatience, we communicate this. We don't want a God that makes us wait. We don't want a God that asks us to be patient with his time frame. And so here's what we do. We go for a God that satisfies us immediately. It happens a lot. Sometimes it happens in subtle ways. Some idols in life, you can see them a mile away. You can see them coming, and you know to duck out of the way. But some are really subtle. And sometimes when we trade in the God who calls us to be patient for the false God that says, I'll gratify you now, guess which direction we start digging ourselves. But you know what? There are a lot of Aarons out there who love to say, I can satisfy you today. This is what we see in Exodus 32, 2-4. Aaron answered the people, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Did you hear that? How Aaron makes a mistake. He makes a poor decision. And what happens as a result? He is what? He is stuck. He is stuck. Commandment number one, people of God, is what? You shall have no other gods. And if you look at Exodus chapter 20, God says, you shall not fashion yourself anything in the form of an idol or a graven image. Don't do it. And yet, what is the brother of Moses? What are God's people doing? They're breaking commandment number one. So here's what happens, friends. You break number one, you break the rest. You break number one, the rest follow very quickly. So goes the head, so goes the body. But there are a lot of Aarons who can say this in life, I can satisfy you now. And boy, Aaron is quick to fit that bill, isn't he? Exodus 32, verse 5. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. I don't know if you caught that, but who is he calling the Lord there? It's on the screen for you, by the way. The calf. Aaron is calling this golden calf, this chunk of metal that can't speak, can't talk, can't listen, can't save. He's calling that the Lord. How's that for biblical leadership? You take God out and you put something in. You take biblical leadership out and you put something in. You take biblical principles and guidance and direction out and wisdom and you put something back in. You shake it up and what do you get? You get a mess. And at so many points in your life and my life, God gives us that exit ramp. And yet so oftentimes we do what? We plow right forward. There are a long line of errands in your life and in my life who are quick to offer you what will satisfy today. But here's the thing. It promises you life, but it gives you hell. And it gives you death. It gives you the death of a marriage, the death of a friendship, a death of a reputation, death to relationship with our good and gracious God. So here's the question, friends. How often do we exchange the real God for a fake one and then call the fake one the real God? Have you seen this in life? Have you seen this in our community recently? I have. You've been turning on the news, listening to the paper. Have you heard the word on the street? So we've gotten really good as a nation of taking the real God out of the equation and putting in a lot of false ones, things like money and power. And then we take those idols and we call them what? The one true what? God. Because sometimes we aren't satisfied with waiting on the God who says, be patient. I'll take care of you. I'll lead you. I'll provide. How have you experienced that in your life recently? Or maybe this, do you know someone in your life who's begun to exchange the real God for the false God? Or a fake, only to call the fake the real God? If so, that person needs you to give the gospel of grace focus on Jesus Christ, and they need it from you today. So the answer to the question is just this. We do this often. It happens a lot. Exodus 32, verse 6. So the next day, the people rose up early, and they sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. And what is revelry? Well, God's word tells us, don't wonder about it, but check this out. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, revelry equals sexual immorality. So you take God out of the equation, and you put something else in. You take a holy practice, holy worship out, and you put things in that are anything but holy. You take God out of his own house, you put something back in, and the last thing you get is the one true God. God was faithful to his people. God's faithful to us today. And yet they took him out of the equation and brought in something else. And what did it lead to? A digging deeper and deeper and deeper into a really difficult and hard place. My challenge to you tonight is just this. If you've been digging yourself in a hole, take your foot off the gas. If you've been doing something that's contradictory to God's word, you don't have to go back home to it tonight. If you've been doing something that's jeopardizing your relationship with a friend, a family member, a coworker, a classmate, or with your Lord, you don't have to keep your foot on the gas pedal to continue digging yourself deeper. Take your foot off tonight. Hear God's appeal for you tonight. Take your foot off the gas pedal. Take the exit route called grace and leave a different way tonight. Leave a different way. Three times in Exodus 32, God calls this sin a great sin. Why? Because it's against the greatest relationship you and I will ever have, the relationship with our one true God. It happens on a great location, Mount Sinai, where God comes down to be close to his people and gives them the Ten Commandments, a template for life with him and also with others. And it happens with a great people who have been gifted with something that you and I have been gifted with called grace. And yet you drop something into the equation, and it makes a great mess, especially when it's not connected to your God and my God. Exodus 32, 12 to 13. It's a good thing there's someone else who goes to bat for God's people. His name is Moses, and this is what he says. He says to God, "Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." In a big way, God is, Moses is calling God to remember his promises. And in a big way, this is what Moses is saying. Claim the covenant promise. Claim the covenant promise. That includes things like forgiveness, a fresh start, an opportunity to leave whatever this is behind and to follow where God is leading you today. Claim the covenant promise. Exodus 32, verse 14, gives us God's answer. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. See, here's the thing. God has compassion on his people, and maybe you know this already. Because God's people experienced a form of compassion that looked like a flesh and blood Jesus. That looked like a real cross. It was covered in real blood and real sweat and real tears. A cross that was meant for you and for me, but was taken up by someone who didn't need to be there, but allowed himself to be there for you and for me, so that you and I would have a covenant and covenant promises to claim, so that you and I wouldn't be stuck in that hole, no matter what it is for you, no matter where it's been for you, that you wouldn't stay stuck there. Tonight, God offers you through his son, Jesus Christ, forgiveness and hope and grace and love. So here's the question. Are you willing to take your foot off the accelerator and to follow where God is calling you to go? Let's pray. Father, we have all had the experience of digging ourselves into a difficult situation. And sometimes we begin to reason that sin will overcome sin. And the result is the same. We dig ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper. Father, tonight, through the working of your Holy Spirit and your word, we recognize and we believe there is only one way to look when you're at the bottom of the hole, and that is up. This isn't a self-help sermon. This isn't a 10 ways to get yourself out message. This is a call to God's people to humble hearts, to come empty and to be filled with strength to move forward. Father, would you pull us from where we've been and would you bring us to where we need to be? Get rid of the idols that we've been living for, living upon, living with, living through. Tonight we set them down before you and we ask once again, remember us in your compassion. Remember your covenant promises to us through Jesus, his death and resurrection. Remember us, your people. Give us a fresh start. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.